Hello everybody, this is Parshas Pinchas, and the Parsha begins with recounting the story of how Pinchas killed Zimri and stopped the Magefa that was going on. But the Torah makes a special emphasis of pointing out Pinchas' lineage. And the Parsha says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKayin. And Rashi explains that the reason why the Torah goes to this detail that Pinchas is the grandson of Aaron is because after Pinchas went and killed Zimri, people were commenting and talking and making complaints that how could this guy, Pinchas, he's a grandson of Yisroi, who was a ger, who he himself was sacrificing for Avodah Zarah, how could he go and kill a Nasi amongst Klal Yisrael? So Hashem says, no, he's a grandson of Aaron. So I saw the Bar Yosef asked the obvious question. He's like, and let's say they were right. Let's say he was a grandson of Yisroi and he was not a grandson of Aaron. Then what? The halacha was that Pinchas had a right to kill Zimri. Zimri was doing something wrong. He was doing something wrong in public. And halacha is kanoi in public. My halacha is that a person who's a kanoi is supposed to go and take that guy out. So who cares what about his lineage? Why is the Torah even, so to speak, addressing their complaint? So he says a very interesting idea. He says that there's a fundamental difference between a regular case where a person does something which is liable for a chiyuv misa, death penalty, and the story of Zimri. A regular chiyuv misa, it's a fact. The halacha is you do A, B, C, D, a person's chayiv misa, and Bezdin has to kill him. Whereas here, when it comes to the prohibition of living with an aramis, the non-Jewish woman, the halacha is that A, it has to be, it's only chayiv misa if it's done in public, and number two, it's only if a person is filled with a true kanais. It's not that Bezdin goes and kill him. It's if another Jew is so bothered by this public chil Hashem that he goes and he feels that he has to do something, then he's allowed to kill him, but it's not a regular chiyuv misa. Therefore, what the other shvatim were saying is that really, Pinchas, you're so bothered by this, that this guy was doing something like this? Your great-grandfather was already serving Avodah Zarah. How could it be that you're so bothered? Says the Torah, you don't understand who Pinchas is. Pinchas is ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKayin. Pinchas is the ultimate Oyev Shalom and Roydev Shalom. He's the grandson of Aaron who always loved peace. If he was able to go and kill somebody, it must be that it really bothered him so badly that he couldn't, so to speak, stop himself and he had to avenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor. And that's why Torah goes at length to address this point, because there is something to it. That unless a person is a Kanoi on a true place, they can't go and do this. It's only because Pinchas had that, so to speak, that pure level of kanois, that it wasn't because he hated the guy, it wasn't because of any personal agenda. He was a grandson of Aaron, he was someone who loved peace, yet he was willing to go and do this. It was only because it came from such a pure place. That's why it was right what Pinchas did. That's what the Bar Yosef says. And I saw an interesting thing, though, that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh adds on a point. He says, we know that Aaron was the ultimate Oyev Shalom and Roydev Shalom. Aaron is always one making peace, making harmony amongst everybody. But he says there's one time when Aaron made a mistake. Aaron, when the Chet HaEgel was happening, Chur tried to stop it and they killed him. And Aaron got up and he tried appeasing them, so let's wait until tomorrow. And ultimately, so to speak, Aaron made a mistake and he failed in a certain sense. And many, many, many Jews died because of the sin of the Chet HaEgel. Thousands of Jews died because Aaron didn't make a fight when he was supposed to. He didn't stop Klal Yisrael when there was a time when he was supposed to stop them. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Pinchas, the grandson of Aaron, he perfected that. He went and took Aaron's midah of shalom and making peace. And he recognized that there comes a time sometimes when for the sake of peace, you have to take action. For the sake of peace, you have to shut down those who are doing the wrong thing, because that's ultimately what saved Klal Yisrael. And the peace that Pinchas created was he saved Klal Yisrael from destruction. Like Hashem says that, in our parsha, Heshev Eschamas Yavnei, so he took back Hashem's anger from Klal Yisrael. There was a plague going on, 24,000 people died, and Pinchas stopped that plague through his act of kanoes, which in this case was really the perfect example of bringing peace into Klal Yisrael. And that's as our Chaim HaKadosh is really what Pinchas is bringing out, that there's two sides to Aaron HaKohen's midah of peace. There's making peace, which is usually the best way to go, but sometimes there's a need to take a stance and to stop evil and ra where it is to really bring about true peace. The parasha continues and Hashem says, L'chein emar, hinini noisin lois brisi shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give Pinchas my bris, my covenant of peace. And all the mafarshim discuss, seemingly for an act of zealousness, for an act of kanos, you know, you should get a Medal of Honor, you get a badge of courage, but why are you getting the Bris of Peace? So, many different commentaries, but I saw an interesting idea from the Nitziv in Sefer HaMikdavar. He says that there's a concept that every time a person does something, especially an act of aggression, an act of war, it naturally leaves a mark on a person. There's a famous phrase they say over from Golda Meir that she hates the Arabs more than for killing the Jewish boys. She hates them for making the Jewish boys into killers. Now, I don't necessarily think that's a true statement. I think it's a lot worse that the Arab kills the Jews than the fact that they made the Jews into killers. But, as always, there's always a grain of truth in everything. And the truth is that there is an issue, there is a problem, that every time a person engages in an act of aggression, it leaves a mark on a person and it makes it easier, so to speak, the next time around. Says the Nitziv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Pinchas, you had to go and do something which is usually not a good thing. You had to go and kill somebody. I'm going to promise you, I'm going to give you a gift that it shouldn't affect you. Because you did it for the sake of heaven, because you did Lashem Shemayim, this act of aggression won't leave a mark on you and you'll be just as much of a peaceful person, as a good person, as you were before. And that's the Bris Shalom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving to Pinchas. The parsha goes on and begins to list the different families in Klal Yisrael. And in Perek Chavav, Pasuk Kafei, the Pasuk says, Reuven b'chol Yisrael, b'nei Reuven chanoich, mishpachas hachanoichi. And Rashi comments, why do we call the families of the Jewish people hachanoichi, hafalui? Why do we add this hey and the yud to their names? And Rashi says that the reason this is necessary is because since the Jewish people came out of Egypt where they were enslaved, people doubted their lineage. People said that, you know, the same way that the Egyptians lorded over them and enslaved them, they also, so to speak, got mixed in over there in the lineage of Jewish people. And how could the Jews go and claim that they are descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and these are pure families of Jews? Their Egyptian task lords for sure got involved over there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and he puts his name, the Hey and the Yud, on every single family in Jewish people, and he says, I'm testifying that these families are pure, that the Egyptians didn't get involved over here. Now, the Chida asks the obvious question. We know Hashem's name is spelled Yud then Hey. Why here is it Hey then Yud? It says a fascinating idea. It says the Chida, how ultimately did HaKadosh Baruch Hu testify about the Jewish people, the fact that they have pure lineage? He says, because we know, as the Medrash tells us, that every Jewish family, every mother, when she had to have a child, she wouldn't have one child at a time, she would have six at a time. Shisha bekeres echad. And that's how the Jews multiplied so fast when they were in Egypt. Says the Chida, the testimony here was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make miracles for a scenario where Egyptian taskmaster went and lived with a Jewish woman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make nisim for nothing. He doesn't make nisim for evil acts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes that she had six kids at once. That's the biggest proof that the source of these children was a good place. It was from her husband. And therefore, the testimony, says the Chida, it came primarily from the mothers, from the women. Therefore, says the Chida, we know in the Gemara and Saita that we know that Ish and Isha, a man and a woman, they have the name of Hashem amongst them. The Ish is spelled Aleph Yud Shin. It has the Yud of the name of Hashem. And the Isha has the Hey, the Aleph Shin Hey. And that's how, by being together, a husband and wife could bring the Shekhinah into the world. Says the Chida, since the women were the primary testimony to the Yichus of Klal Yisrael, because of their miracle of having six at a time, therefore their Hey comes first. It's first the Hey, Hachanoichi, and then the Yud, because ultimately the women were the ones who were really testifying about the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. And I heard an interesting story from a grandson of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He said that there was once a woman who was very, very ill, and the doctors told her that she can't have any children. Her disease is too bad, and she won't be able to have any more children. And sure enough, a few months later, a year later, she ended up getting pregnant. And the doctors were concerned that it was dangerous for her, and they felt that, you know, she wasn't supposed to get pregnant. If she got pregnant, they have to abort. So their husband was a ger chassid. So he went to the ger rebbe, asked, what should he do? So the ger rebbe said, you have to go to Moshe Feinstein. So he went to Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein said, if this woman medically was not supposed to be able to get pregnant, and it's a miracle that she got pregnant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make miracles for nothing. It's going to be fine, and you don't have to abort the baby. And sure enough, Baruch Hashem, the baby was born healthy, and everyone was okay. But again, the same idea. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the effort, so to speak, to go and change nature and make a miracle, there's a reason behind it. Parsha continues in Perek Chavav, Pasuk Chadalet, and it lists the children of Yisachar. And it lists his son, Liyashuv Mishpachas HaYushuvi. And Rashi asked the question, if you look back when the Jews went down into Mitzrayim, Yisachar did not have a son named Yashuv. His son's name was Yoiv, Yud Vav Vez. What's his new shin doing in the middle over here? So the Chizkuni and others, they explain that Yashuv and Yoiv are the same person. And Yoiv had an issue. He had an issue learning. He wasn't able to comprehend. He wasn't doing well in his learning. And Yisachar took the shin from his name. Yisachar, as we know, is spelled with two sins. And he took one of them, and he gave it to his son Yoiv, and his name turned into Yashuv. And then he was able to be Yoishev, to sit and to learn, and to excel in his learning. And that's why, says the Chizkuni, the name Yisachar is pronounced only with one sin. It's not pronounced Yisachar, except for the first time that it's read in the Torah. Otherwise, it's always pronounced with just one sin, because the second sin that turned into a shin that was given to his son Yoiv and made him Yashuv. And their Gifter points out, and he says, you see from here that a lot of times, if a person wants his child to succeed, it's not enough to give him things and do stuff for him. You have to give him a piece of yourself. Yisachar went and take a piece of himself, that shin of his own name, and he gave it to his son Yoiv, and that's what enabled him to excel and to steig. Because when you give a kid a piece of yourself, you show him, I'm investing in you. I believe in you. I'm willing to take a piece of myself and give it to you because I know that you're going to do great things with it. I heard a story recently from a Pesach Krohn. He said a hesped on his brother, Kalman Krohn. And he said a story that a guy called him up, a teenager, and he called up Pesach Krohn. And he told him, I have a story about your brother, but you can't say who I am. It's too embarrassing. Fine. Yeah, he won't say who he is. So the boy said, look, I was a boy. I was not doing well in yeshiva at all. I dropped out. And I was bumming around. And my parents were going crazy, obviously. And finally, something hit me. I decided I want to go and learn, but I needed to go to Eretz Yisrael. I realized in America, I needed a change. I need to go to Eretz Yisrael. I wanted to go to the Mir Yeshiva, and I figured if I go there, I'll have a fresh start, and I'll learn well. So I came to my parents, and I said, I wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. I want to go to the Mir. Can you please give me a ticket? So his father said, look, we have no money, unfortunately. And like, who says you're going to start there? Are you telling me stories? You're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to have a fresh start. His father said, look, I'm sorry. I don't have enough money to do this. I can't help you. So this boy is very upset, and he decided, he heard that Kalman Krohn from Lakewood, New Jersey, he helps Bachram out, he takes care of people. So he figured he'll give him a call, he knows his family, maybe he'll be able to help him. So he calls over Kalman Krohn, he tells him his story, that he's not doing well, and he wants to go learn, but he needs help, he needs money, he needs chavrusas in the mirror. So Kalman Krohn told him, look, come 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'll speak to you. So his boy said he figured that Kalman Krohn, the reason why he did it, was because if the boy's serious, he'll come at 2 in the morning. If he's just playing games, he's not going to stay up at 2 in the morning to come. So the boy was serious. He came at 2 o'clock in the morning. Rav Kalman Krohn sat him down. He said, okay. He saw he was serious. He gave money for a ticket. He called up the yeshiva. He arranged chavrusas for him. And sure enough, this boy came to Mir Yeshiva. He met Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. Rav Nosson Tzvi was already not well. He was already, you know, very, very much homebound. But he told his boy, he's like, look, you're coming from a big gap in your learning. I don't think you're going to be able to go into the regular yeshiva system of going slow and be iyun. Do the daf. I'll get you a chavrusa. You're going to do the daf every day. And you can come to me and tell me how things are going. Report back to me directly. And the boy was very touched. He said, the yeshiva believes in me. He thinks I could do a full daf every day. He's getting a chavrusa. The boy started doing well. Sure enough, after a month or two, the boy slipped. And he did something really, really inappropriate and wrong. And he was very scared because he knew besides that the yeshiva might get him in trouble, but also if Kalman Krohn's going to find out, he's the one who hooked him up and got him at the yeshiva, and he's going to be upset at him. He's going to feel like he wasted all his time and money on him and all his effort. And sure enough, he got a call from Kalman Krohn, and he's sitting there and he's waiting to get yelled at. And if Kalman Krohn tells him something, I want to ask you a question. How do you become a millionaire? And the boy said, I don't know. If Kalman Krohn says, let me tell you, I know how to become a millionaire. I spoke to enough millionaires. I know how to do this. It's very simple. You go and you buy a stock. You buy it when it's low. And what's going to happen is the stock's going to go up a little bit, and then it's going to drop. And then everyone else is going to panic, and they're going to sell out on the stock. But the real millionaires, they know that you have to hold on for the long run, because if you buy it low, even if it dips, it's going to go back up, and that's when you make your money. When it goes all the way up, since you bought it low, that's where you make your big money. Kalman Krohn told them, look, I invested in you. I bought it low, but I know that you're going to do well. You had a dip, but you're going to pick yourself back up, and you're going to make this happen. And the boy said of Kalman's trust in him, his investment in him, it helped him turn around, and it made him believe in himself, and that's what made him who we are. And that's a lesson for all of us, is the more we invest in our children, in those around us, the more we show them that we believe in them, the more we're willing to give them a piece of ourselves, like Yisachar did with his shin, the further they'll go. So I want to end off with one last thought. This past week in Chicago, there was a very, very, very tragedy. We lost the Rishiv Reb Shmuel Yehuda Levin Zacharin Levracha. And by his Levaya, one of his children-in-law said over, Reb Levin had sent out to his family last week a Dvar Torah on last week's parasha, which I thought was very, very special, and I wanted to share it. It says in last week's parasha, Bilam gets up, and he gives Klal Yisrael a blessing. He points out Klal Yisrael's uniqueness in Ma Tovu Oyhalecha Yaakov Mishkan Esecha Yisrael, how great are your tents, Yaakov, your dwelling places, Yisrael. And Rashi there famously explains what's so great about Klal Yisrael's tents. So Rashi says that the way Klal Yisrael camped in the Midbar, they camped in a way that everybody's tent was not facing the doorway of the other tent. Nobody could see into each other's tent. Every tent, the door was facing the back of the other tent. And that way, no one had to know what was going on in anyone else's house. And simply put, you understand Rashi. The Rashi is saying that people control their nosiness, their need to see what's going on by their neighbors. And that was the Mila, that was a special attribute that Klal Yisrael had that Bilam was commenting on. But the Rishiva said an interesting point. He said, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every person in this world a mission. Every single person is given a specific job in this world that he has to do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gives a person a mission, he gives him all the tools he needs and all the assets and everything that he needs to make and to accomplish his mission. And anything he doesn't need, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give him. So what a person has to recognize in life is that everything he needs to get it done, to get his mission in life done, he has, and it's by him. What's going on in his friend's tent, what his friend has in his house, what his friend's driving, the lifestyle of his friend's living, it's irrelevant to him. Because whatever he has is what he needs for his mission. It has nothing to do with me and my mission. Matayvu Oyalecha Yaakov. Yaakov is being blessed. Klal Yisrael is being told, you, Klal Yisrael, you understand that you have your own world. You have your life. Whatever you need, if you have it, it's in your world, and there's nothing that's going on by anybody else that's relevant to you. Klal Yisrael lives a life of Eisher, of wealth, in the sense that they recognize that they have everything they need inside, by them, in their own house, and there's nothing that the outside world or any outside houses or anybody else's life that's relevant to me. And anybody who knew the Rosh Yeshiva of Shmuel Levin Zatzal understood that he was somebody who lived this. He had a mission. He did what he had to do. He raised up Klal Yisrael, he gave over to Klal Yisrael, took care of Klal Yisrael, all with an understanding that everything that he has to do, it's by him, it's in his world. There's no need to look around into anybody else's life and to be jealous of anybody else. Everything I need, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me, and I have my mission cut out for me. And in Mitzvah Hashem, his neshama should have an aliyah, and his family should have a nechama. We should all be zeichet to only see in Simchas. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.